Welcome to what will be the most somber edition of Leafs Talk after a win in the history of the show. The Leafs win? Who cares? Canada loses at the World Juniors to Czechia in the quarterfinals, capping what has to be one of the most embarrassing World Junior performances by Canada in my lifetime anyway. Like, I've been going through it, trying to kind of research and go back and see what it is. But anyways, whatever. We won't start with that. I'm just sour. This is the tone of the show tonight. Like, I'm extremely bitter. I'm going to have a really tough time doing anything really deep diving on the Leafs. Just throw that out there.
I will say that this is very, like, I feel like it's a playoff loss show. Where, like, I'm digging deep to try to, like, come up with anything other than, like, I'm just seethingly pissed off at this moment.
Yeah. But trying to be a pro, but just can't be a pro.
At the core of it, I am a Dumbo fan, and watching Canada crash out of the World Juniors for the second straight year, for the first time, I think, in the Federation's history, we're not playing for a medal. It's pretty concerning. I will say, like, I know they didn't take the right team and all that, and everyone's crying about how they left all these guys I've never, you know, I don't have a lot of knowledge about at home, but it shouldn't matter. Your B team should be good enough to get to the quarterfinals. Through the quarterfinals, your B team should be good to compete in the semis, maybe get to a final, even if you don't take some guys. People are crying about the team selection. Like, it's just, it's a fundamental issue that we're not as good as we were. Mm-hmm. It's just, you watch it again tonight, and yeah, they had a good third period. They find a way to tie it up or whatever. But for most of the night, Canada was the second best team to Czechia. So
they started the game getting outshot 10-2. That's not on the coaches. That's not on the teams. Like, the team wasn't, like, they didn't play with the passion that they played with in the third period. Like, it was actually, if you want to do Leafs talk, it was, like, very Leafy in the sense of, we've seen a lot of iterations of this team, like, start late. Take bad penalties, give up goals late in periods, just have brain fart after brain fart, play with the wrong kind of intensity in the wrong moments, just heartbreaking stuff. I'm totally with you. I think that this is a little magnified given that we're about to have best on best again, and there are real conversations about where Canada stands, and it's been a long time since we left 2014, and the Canadian hockey team that we once knew, which completely body bagged everyone except for the Latvians, who gave them a plucky effort, just like they always do, with that board change play with Tennis Nolan.
You found a way to bring up Latvia.
Shocker. Yeah, but I'm just saying that, like, our grip over the last decade has changed. Yep. Like, they've lost 5 of 7 to the States. They're not going to get an opportunity for redemption. They just got embarrassed on home soil. And it really lacked the feeling of Canada hockey for large swaths of this tournament. It's an awful showing for the Leafs' top prospect, who has a moment in this game where he looks off a wide open tap-in to take a selfish shot. And a guy who looked completely in over his head for the vast majority of this tournament. I thought the coach bungled just about everything, including just, like, never practicing with this group, a group of, you know, under 20-year-old kids who should be practicing, especially given that they have not played together. A management core that neglected to take some of the most skilled players and high draft picks, just a top to bottom disaster. But again, like, a reminder of sort of where this country has been trending over the last decade in the hockey world, which is, like, we're not the boogeyman anymore. We're kind of just around it. We're just one of the teams.
These teams at this level don't fear us anymore, which is one of the most terrifying sentences I could ever say. And listen, like, people love to be, you know, the zag on this is always like, oh, they're teenagers. Like, they're just kids.
Yeah, sure.
And listen, like, there's something to that. But what it's getting to now, and like you mentioned it with your best on best, these teenagers in 3 to 4 years will be young men who are responsible for representing our country at the senior men's national level, at the Olympics, and at whatever other tournaments that they come up with here. And this is, it's just, listen, we're always going to have the top end guys. We are. We're always going to have the McDavids. We're always going to have, like, Gavin McKenna looked unbelievable throughout this tournament. Didn't have a ton of production, but he's a kid. He's really young. You can see it there with him. Like, we have McKinnon. Well, we have the
didn't play him.
Well, yeah. He waited till the third period of the last game of the tournament, be like, hey, this kid's pretty good. Maybe we should put him on the top line for a little bit. And then they had, like, 3 or 4 of the best shifts that they had the whole tournament the second he got there. Great job by Dave Cameron. Anyways, I think you know, you're always going to have those top guys, but you look back at a lot of those teams that have won for us at Olympics, and it's just, it was wave after wave of dominant players. Like, you just think of what their fourth, like my favorite hockey line of all time in 2010, Mike Richards, Rick Nash, and Jonathan Toews, like all three of those guys are the best players on their team. And it's like, you need wave after wave to compete with the other nations now. And it just feels like the waves are kind of crashing out here. So,
well, you know what scares me too with this, bud, is that they went with like the character guys.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, they went with the like, oh, well, this is going to be the Canadian the passion guys. And yes, all they did was take Dumbo penalty after Dumbo penalty whenever the team started to make a little bit of momentum. Like, again, it just felt like, again, we're doing the they're just kids thing because you don't want to sewer them, like, which is true, right? Like, you've got Gavin McKenna just turned 17 years old. Yeah. Like, how hard can you get?
My nephew's like two years younger than him, and he's like the littlest baby ever. It's like,
exactly. Like, I'm not trying to go too hard on the players, but it's like, if you're going to bring the character team, don't you want to feel like the character identity? Like, don't you want to feel like, oh, wow, these guys are just nasty on forechecks and they don't let games get away from them, and they tighten up in the important, meaningful moments, and they just never did it. And like, frankly, I'd revoke Dave Cameron's passport. Like, I just think that done. That guy's got to move to Malta or something. Like, you can't have him in Canada anymore.
Never again. Never.
Look, I'd go to a 67s game.
Yeah. And I feel for that Gibson, who I thought was pretty good in this tournament, and he tries to go, like, it's the end of the game. It's a one goal. Sorry, it's a tie game. You fought your way back into this. And it's like, you got to know the way the standard of the officiating this game. You can't try to go 2012 Dion Phaneuf on a guy at the blue line at this point of the tournament. Make a stick check. Yep. Like, you got to have better spatial awareness, and it comes down to discipline. It comes down to a stupid penalty, and that's what ends up going in. And you wouldn't listen. It's a great shot, but George is there, gets through him. You like a save there too. So it was a tough one for me. I sent out a tweet halfway through this game that, like, it's unlike any watching experience I've ever had watching the World Juniors. Like, this is not, listen, they've had some bad teams, but at least they had jam. At least they got chances. At least they were, like, you know, high octane. This was the most low octane team. Like, they just had barely any chances. And it just felt like a grind to get to three against Czechia. Like, we used to score 7 and 8 for fun in this tournament. It was just a grind. So,
I don't know.
I'm just hoping.
Score anybody.
I'm just hoping to God that this is a one-off, two-off. It's just kind of a bad generation here. And then it'll get going with McKenna, and the more people will come up underneath them. But a little bit scary right now for Hockey Canada heading into the Four Nations. But tough one. Anyways.
I'll tell you this too, like, with the officiating, like, I know there's a lot of people that want ref talk. There are moments in this tournament where I'm...
IHF refs.
Yeah.
Always been bad. Always make stupid calls. Always are over the top. Gotta know better.
There's some in this tournament that were just like egregious. The one in the America game where it's like a play along the boards and the ref's there is just like two guys, guy gets rubbed out on the wall and the ref makes a hero call. Like, you know, there's some ones where it's just like, you know, you've pound your fist on the table because it's just infuriating. But, like, you know, the way that this tournament is going to be called, it's blatant as day. And again, this is on the coaching staff that had a response after the USA game of, well, we can't, what are we supposed to do? Like, okay, good. You're only the coach. It's fine. Like, again, like,
did they take tips from, like, the Leafs with Keefe? Like, there's so many similarities, like zero accountability. Like, we can't address it. Like, this, that, like the canceling practice thing. Like, I can't, the challenge on that goal, when like your guy bowls over the goalie, it goes over the line. And, like, sure, it kind of, like, I guess, like, I
he nails the goalie. The puck goes in after the net is off the mooring.
I texted you jokingly, like, oh, that's a good goal. We're like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, ha, ha.
They come back, and they're like, oh, they're challenging it. That's a cherry on the crap Sunday for Dave Cameron, bud. I can't believe they challenged that. And it was after their best 7 minutes of the tournament by far. Immediately saps the momentum. They end up tying it, sure, but, like, they were all over them. Maybe they get one more. Maybe they get two more. It's just like that took away 2 minutes of the game. Disaster for Dave Cameron. Disaster. No,
truly, truly, truly. Like, just a disgraceful coaching performance.
As bad as it gets.
As bad as it gets. And I, you know, the only spin that I have for this is someone who's been kind of pumping the tires of the Four Nations tournament. I said today on my show that it's going to be very much like with the Olympics looming, like a COVID cup where you know, if you win it and then you win the next one, you get to say like, hey, we won the Four Nations and won the Olympics, right? If you lose or you win the Four Nations and you lose the Olympics, it's kind of like, yeah, congrats on your little piece of metal that you got there. I hope you're happy with it.
Yeah, but, way to win the inaugural Four Nations face-off presented by Rogers there, bud. Yeah. Good job.
I didn't even know. Is it a Rogers?
No, term? I just said that. I was making it sound as cheap as possible.
Yeah, but I was just like, if when we're going into this tournament now, the stakes are going to feel monumental. Like, I know there's a lot of people crapping on the tournament. There's a lot of Leaf fans specifically that are like happy certain guys aren't going because it's like, oh, we want to have the rest. And there's all these conversations about Matthews not going, but it's like, dude, I'm telling you, Team Canada lays an egg at that tournament. And like, who are we as a country?
Nah, listen,
who are we anymore?
We got how many, 25 cups on that team? You got dogs on that team. Like, I'm not worried about that level of hockey.
About 2028 or what
is the future is when it gets more scary. But right now, like our best on best, that's a team full of dogs. Like, I'm not worried about that. But
we still have Sid.
We got Nate McKinnon, bud. We got
Connor McDavid. Like,
Hagel. Like, dogs.
How sweet is it going to get to cheer for Connor McDavid?
Cannot wait. Cannot wait.
Anyway, oh my God.
I love, we are getting a fair amount of comments to move on to Leafs talk now. Oh, sorry about your free content.
Yeah, sorry that
we're talking about things that we care about. Holy hell.
Guess what? Subscribe to the podcast.
Leafs talk's over.
You can skip.
Take a hike.
Yeah, no, that's sour. Like, we are getting a fair amount of comments. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Can't talk about the Leafs' third game against the Islanders.
Oh, they won. Oh, my God. They beat the crappy Islanders. What? Yeah. Wow.
Hey, congrats. Congrats.
They hung on for dear life.
Yeah, that's the ultimate most crybaby behavior I've ever seen. You're not paying for this.
No.
That's free. We're just here on our Thursday night, grinding away, doing it, watching both these games. Anyways, fine. Over to the Leafs. They won.
End of conversation.
Yeah. Bourne looks smart.
Oh, my God. Bourne nailed it. He just absolutely nailed it. Bobby McMahon, most underrated player. Praising him big time. And yeah, he's awesome. I've said it on Leafs Talks past that, you know, the quote unquote X factor, he is an X factor for this team. He is their secondary, real secondary scoring. Like, they have other guys that, you know, Domi can pitch in with a goal here and there, not that often. You know, I guess the other guys in the team in the bottom half, you know, Robertson can pitch in here and there.
Robertson is dreadful tonight.
I know, but like, he's scored a few recently, right? Like, he's pitched in a little bit, but you're true secondary scoring, I think, starts and ends with Bobby McMahon. And buddy, when the puck lands on his stick in the sweet spot, it ends up in the back of the net. And both those goals tonight are goal scorers goals, like specifically the second one, where it looks like, you know, he's got a wide open net, and I don't know if we have the highlight of it, if we could roll it, he's got a wide open net here, but the way he's got to pivot his body and sort of just like change the angle and shoot that quick before everybody gets over there, I'm really, really impressed with this guy. And like, they need the secondary scoring. They get two tonight. They're both from him. These last two games, it's been all it was Camp and Lorenz against in the Islander game before. Yep. Now it's McMahon twice. It's nice to see these guys pitch in, but yeah, really impressed with McMahon tonight.
So one, McMahon totally picks up his teammate with this goal because Domi has an ultimate Domi moment, has a wide open net and decides,
oh my God, I know,
I'm not going to shoot the puck. Like, crazy stuff. You're right. It's a beautiful goal. And I want to say, you know, speaking of underrated with McMahon, like, we always talk about his size. We always talk about his speed because those are real things, right? You know what I really appreciate about him tonight, which is he finds the soft spots on the ice. He's like, you know, when they have the wide receivers that know how to work a zone where you go like, oh man, this guy just knows how to find the soft spots in the coverage. Bobby McMahon's got a great mind for just like spatial awareness and like where to be and read pucks and like make himself available for teammates. How many of his goals this year are him just doing exactly this, like making a good read, getting himself into good position, and then finishing? I love the guy's game, man.
Yeah, a real true goal scorer's instinct where just a nose to the net. And like you said, finds a soft spot, like a good slot receiver, looking like, I don't know, Ladd McConkey out there finding the sweet spot, just hammering it in the net. I really think going back to the playoffs last year, and I know it's a very easy thing to draw when they don't get any scoring, but not having him for the entire playoffs, I believe, was a factor. And listen, they didn't have Matthews for some of the games. They didn't have Nylander for some of the games. Mm-hmm. But McMahon had been really good in the second half of last year before he got hurt. And I think it was a factor. And I've always said, we've always joked that this guy's got a huge playoff goal in him where he catches somebody with his speed and he comes around. Like, I really hope, and this has always been the knock on this guy, bud, is that he can't stay healthy. Like, at every level he's ever played at, I'm really hoping they get a long stretch of healthy hockey from him and he can stay healthy into the playoffs because they need his production. He's a really important guy down their lineup.
Speaking of like the secondary scoring, I felt like the blue line has been listening to the sports talk.
Oh, they're hammering everything.
Yeah. There's always
how
a fear.
How many shots did Riley have tonight?
I don't know, but there was a real sense of like the boys were jumping up in the rush. The D was activated tonight.
They've been reading the press clippings.
Yeah, they want one. You know, people, the players always say they don't pay attention. The coaching staffs are always like, oh, we don't pay attention. I think that the blue line was paying attention tonight. Like,
Riley only had two shots tonight. Maybe it was more attempts, but it felt like he was getting towards the net a lot.
Look at this highlight reel alone. Like, you've got two missed nets already from him. Like, you saw it from OEL with a couple of spots where it's just like he's rifling towards the net. You saw McCabe jumping up in the rush a bunch of times. Like, they are very aware of how long it has been since they chipped in as a group.
Yeah, it's funny. I really do feel I can't quit Oliver Ekman-Larsson as a potential first power play guy because he's got that ability to do like the extremely broke man's Cale Makar move where he does like the pivot across and shoot across his body low where it just feels like it always ends up in something good. Like it hits a pad. That's what ends up with McMahon banging that goal in. It's off the shot from Oliver Ekman-Larsson where he's got, it's like that. I mean, just every Leaf fan of a certain vintage will know what I'm talking about. He's got the Cody Franzen wrister from the point where he just gets it hard and through and low, and it always seems like good things happen. So I haven't totally given up on him as a power play one option. It doesn't feel like they ever go to it. But, yeah, they were really firing it tonight. It was noticeable. They're sick of that stat. That's a crazy stat, though. Yeah. It's a crazy stat. The whole month of December without a goal from your back end is remarkably wild. That is very, very crazy. Like that. Like
I've said to you now, and I've said it on my show multiple times. I told you in the bar the other night, like I'm almost positive that they don't have a third period goal all season. And they're the only team in hockey that doesn't have one from their blue line.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe, but nobody hammers it. Like there's nobody on the back end. The guy that shoots it the hardest is actually Myers. Myers hammers it. Like he actually, whenever he gets a chance, he takes a hard clapper, but like they haven't had somebody that really shoots it. Like they tried to do that with Klingberg, but his hips gave out within the first 10 games of the year.
10 games, 10 minutes.
Yeah, like 10. I mean, they played him for 10 games. How many games did he play? I have no idea. Actually.
The Klingberg experience is a very quick, forgettable one. Minus,
I saw stuff like early this is like he's looking, his hips are better. He's looking for a return. Every pro scout's like, I don't think so, guys. Yeah. Like, no, we're not going to do that. But
he might have some good AHL games in him, though. Like, he might be able to.
14 games to the Leafs last year.
Yeah, 14, eh? God. Yeah. That's a forgettable 14.
He was had 5 points, 5 assists, and -7. That tracks.
You know what's kind of interesting with the blue line, though, thing is like, because, like, you know, we'll get onto Wall with this game. Like, I don't know how much you end up having. Like, I'm just going to admit, this is not the most detailed watch that I ever had. Yeah. Okay. Like, I was, you know, my eyes were wandering to Canada.
You're darting. I was darting around.
Yeah. I did my professional thing. I still had the big game up on the big screen, but like, no matter what I did, I was creeping to Canada just like,
of course. We are who we are, bud. You can't change who you are.
Yeah, it is what it is. The positive spin of Canada being out is that at least, like, you know, we don't have to do this on whatever, the Saturday, Sunday, or whatever the other two games would have been. It's good to not be in it because then you don't have time.
This is how loser of a mentality. I'm like, I don't even want to lose to America again, so just get it over with. Just lose this one.
Like, no, but that's even worse because it's like now they beat us and we're out. Actually, the spin now is that, is it even an accomplishment that America beat us when Latvia and Czechia and
if you didn't beat us, you're a failure.
Like, oh, wow. Congrats. You beat the worst team in the tourney other than Kazakhstan. Like, way to go.
We should be in the relegation zone.
We could have been, man. This is a relegation year. We should have been there with just like Denmark and Kazakhstan. They should have
imagine
put
how sour TSN would be if we got relegated.
Oh, my God.
They'd be like, oh, crap.
Is it even allowed? Like, are we even allowed to be relegated? I don't know. Like, we got to have a clause. We got to be like the, we host it so many times. Anyways, with the blue line, I was thinking today, and I had Myrtle on my podcast, and we were talking about just like, I was asking him about how I'm feeling about this blue line, right? Like, we watched that Islanders together, the last Islanders game, but in the bar over four Guinness instead of over just like the sweat of a Canada game. And
I much preferred the Guinness, brother.
Oh, to be honest with you. Like, Guinness was good times. That was fine. But anyways, better days. You and I were watching that game. It's like, the Leafs couldn't break the puck out like at all. They were just getting hemmed in. That whole second period against the Islanders that we didn't cover was just like them hemming Toronto in, no breakouts. And then they finished the months with the blue line still like not recording a goal. And so the natural conversation is like, hey, they clearly need a centerman, not just to back themselves up from Matthews. They've needed one all season long. I still think it's like the priority. But my mindset is sort of shifting to like, if you can find the right fit with Term, maybe it might be a blue liner. Just the problem is like, where do you fit him in? Because OEL, you don't want him playing the right side. It doesn't work the same way. Like Benoit has been the better of the depth guys, and you still like his size, and he fits like what Berube and Tree Living are aligned on with the like big, gritty, bottom pairing defenseman. I don't want to hear Hakanpaa's name until he's played what, 10 games?
Like, buddy, you mean Team Finland star Jani Hakanpaa?
Yeah, like it's just this entire
year. How thin are you? That's when we should start getting scared, when we're naming Jani Hakanpaa to our national
team. But the Timmins experiment is like, it's kind of running its course.
It's like, dwindling here. Yeah. The light's flickering big time.
Yeah. Like even the most staunch Timmins defenders are like, you're going to be broken up about him not being on the playoff roster. Like, I don't want Myers on the playoff roster. It's just like, they kind of need a perfect right shot D that bumps everybody down. But then I don't know. You like ask OEL to play on his offside. Like
you have your top shutdown pair. So they haven't had that in years past. Yeah. So it's really, really nice to be able to work down from that. Having Tanev and McCabe is a real, like, they are an analytics darling pairing. They're at the top of most like metrics as a pairing. They've been very good all year. So you can work down from there, but it just keeps coming back to the right-hand shot guy to play with Riley. And then you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson sort of slotted into where he was with the Panthers last year as kind of a bottom pair guy in the playoffs.
But then you've got two bottom pair guys that don't work well on the right side. Like I was thinking about this today. Have they even ever tried Benoit on the right?
I don't know. I mean, he already beat it to a square on the left side.
That's what I mean.
Maybe. I mean, his game isn't exactly breaking the puck out. So maybe you wouldn't mind trying him on the offside, but you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Benoit doesn't feel like maybe the best pairing, but I don't know if those guys have spent literally any time together yet this year, but I think it's a nice problem to have that you have your like elite shutdown pair that you have to work down from and kind of make it work. But yeah, like they're screaming out for Luke Shen, but like it's just right there.
A little bit more than that though, honestly. Like
that's
my like, kind of like, point.
So if you have and you're coming on with me and Borny tomorrow on on Real Kipper and Born, Kipper's off tomorrow. So you're coming on for the first hour for the Leafs hour. Like I was kind of thinking
I might not be able to show my face in public, so I might have to
how would you spend the Matthews money, right? Like how would you spend it? Are you looking to do it as a one guy situation where you're getting one big impact player, or are you getting 3 to 4 guys that's filling out the bottom half of your lineup? And to me, like if you have if they get close enough to the cap and they put them on LTIR, they can spend the 13 or whatever, but you don't even need to spend 13. Like you just need to get maybe a puck moving defense. And like you said, a real third line center and a winger. Those are the three things you can do. And you can do pretty well with some UFAs, like a Brandon Tanev, a Yanni Gourde, a Brock Nelson, like all these kind of guys are out there. If you have money to spend, like you can do it. But I kind of agree with you. Like they need maybe one more guy that can snap it around a little bit because they are looking pretty butchery from time to time. And yep. I wasn't saying that at the start of the year. So we'll see. We'll see how it develops. But here's the good thing. They just keep winning. So, and a lot of it has to do with Joseph Woll, who was brilliant again.
Let's get to him tonight. Like, let's just run this pack and talk about him. Yeah. I think, you know, everyone always lives in fear of this guy getting hurt. And you and I, are at the bar. We're watching him kind of wince after he makes a play. And we're like, oh my God, no. He's going to play against the Boston Bruins on Saturday night. And a team that he has, you know, historically performed very well against. And that'll be the classic, like you're playing a starter's workload now. And this is what I was talking to you about. Like you kind of got to stress test him. And so far he's passing with flying colors. He was a stud tonight. He bailed them out so hard through those first two periods. Like the first, they just were, look at these giveaways. They were just like, go get a shot on Woll. Like some of these are just god awful breakdowns and giveaways. And he just made save after save. There's still one from this game that I'm not sure he made when it was still, I think, 1-0.
Cross crease one? Was that post or stick? I don't know.
Yeah, like that's what I still want to know. Like I texted into the chat to see if it was a save, but I don't know if we ever ended up getting like a good replay on it. But if that's a save, like if that's actually on him, that's one of his best of the entire year. He was brilliant tonight and he's handling the workload just fine. I could not be more impressed with Joe Wall.
Yeah, I think it says a lot that, like, listen, they, you know, in the organization, I think it was after they signed him or whatever, Treliving said it. I forget where he said it, but he had like a press conference and he said, we got to work with this guy in terms of being like hurt or injured, right? Mm-hmm. Like the old part of my take thing is he hurt or injured, but like where he feels something and it's like they've worked with him in terms of his mental sort of his thoughts on, hey man, I got to leave this game. Hey, I'm hurt. And they've worked with him on this. And the game on New Year's Eve was one of the more encouraging things that's happened for me because you see him kind of something grab at him, something not feel perfect. And we're both sitting there crying in our Guinness being like, Jesus, this is like, it's Hildeby Murray here. Like he's coming out of this game. He's not coming in for the third period.
They showed like, a shot of Hildeby on the bench. And I was like, no,
he's just got his like little young face. Yeah, like, oh, I don't want to come to this game. But
I gotta say that about him. He doesn't have a big game face.
Doesn't have the best face ever seen. Look a little like Dave Cameron over there. Not the best face I've ever seen.
Oh, Dave.
But Cameron, anyways, I just like that was a big test for me. And the fact that he's at practice the next day, he goes in, gets the next start, gets the win, looks great. Like this is a huge confidence building step for me. I know that's crazy to say that it's just two games, but after the way he kind of winced in the last game and he bounced back, went to practice, played in this game. I'm really, really encouraged by that. And he has a back-to-back this weekend. Obviously, he plays Saturday night against the Bruins. And then it's the Flyers on Sunday.
Murray
and then
night.
Or Hildeby. I think you go to Hildeby. Give him one more shot. I don't think Murray lit himself. Whatever. And then it's Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week. Three games in a row. I think you go to Wall all three. And you just stress test him and see if he can handle the starter's role, right? Like they play Carolina next Thursday. Like I said on the show today that maybe they go to Hildeby in Carolina, but they're one of the most shooting. It's like, I've kind of changed my mind. I think after watching tonight, you just roll with him every start. That's on a back-to-back.
I think you're listening to Wohl and the goalie coach, man. Like if these guys tell you that they're feeling like, you know, when you said the hurt or injured, I think part of Wohl has to be like, and this is part of the maturity of a starter like him. Is he can't feel like he's letting the team down. If he's honest with them being like, I'm burnt, like I'm burning out. I'm feeling fatigued. Like they're going to skip his practice. Like this guy's not going to be touching any practices for the next little while. They're going to be taking it easy on him.
Yeah.
He's going to be sitting there in the recovery room, having himself a good old time, you know, just relaxing. Yep. They'll find other ways to take some stresses off of him. He'll be like a Team Canada player. He'll never practice. This is a good thing. So I think that you're right. Like with that schedule, I'm just playing him. I'm just playing him. And that's a great point you make that he dealt with something, like he was a little hurt and then he just gets back out on the ice and he has one of his better performances of the year. Yeah. Like he's had a lot of good games, but I thought he was spectacular tonight.
Awesome.
Like
awesome.
This is one of his better ones where it was just like, he felt unbeatable. Like look how they got their one goal. It was, by the way, I got a gripe about this goal. It drives me crazy when a guy like Mitch Marner hands his stick to a guy that is like already hurt and playing with the wrong stick, like
stupid.
I just don't think this helps you. Like I'd rather Mitch Marner, one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL, just like
have a stick.
Stick and be able to make a play than Oliver Ekman-Larsson try to chop it around, which like is part of the reason that it doesn't go out is that he can't get a handle on it and chop it out. And it ends up in the back of the net. Nylander, by the way, too, there is just like, what are you?
This is one of the stupidest things that hockey guys do.
Yeah, I know. It's
like,
just,
you know my take on this. You know my take on this. It's like,
no,
just
I don't
skate
know.
To the bench. Skate to the bench.
Well, that too. Like, yeah. It's...
Like, if you have no stick, like, I mean, it's the exact same result if you just skate to the bench. Like, it's like he had no impact in the play. He gave up a stick. Earlier in the year, they did it where I forget who it was, but they broke their stick and they immediately skated to the bench, went and got a new one. I know it's a long change. Or you just skate and let another guy come on. Like it just, you have no, this is a philosophical thing. You have zero impact on the game without a stick. Any NHL guy that's stick handling around you can make a play. Like it's not like, it's a miracle if like they make a Dumbo mistake and like bash it off your shin pad or whatever. They're better than that. It's a philosophical, just get off the ice. You don't have a stick. You are of no use.
I just, I think that that's sometimes a little tough for me because, like, you can still get in a shooting lane. Like, you can still make a hit. You can still kick a puck out. Like, it's still possible. I just don't understand the mindset behind the team's best defensive forward handing his stick to a guy and saying, hey, here's a useless twig for you. Like, here's basically just something you can get a penalty with.
You ever play hockey at recess at school?
Yeah, you got
to
have.
It was like the one kid had the wrong handed stick. He just chopping it to a square. Yeah, he couldn't make a play. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I can relate to this to a certain degree because I'm a righty. But when I first started playing net, I had to learn how to shoot lefty.
So because I liked having,
I liked having my glove hand be my left. It was felt natural to me because I grew up throwing a baseball around. So I was like, this is the way that it has to be done. And God, the first the first 2 years of me playing hockey, I was doing the off the skate shovel thing. It's just stop the puck and top it and just pray that it would go somewhere, not a nightmare. And it just, it was not good. So yeah, that's him. That's Oliver Ekman-Larsson with his stick trying to just pop it out and pray on that play. It ends up in the back of the net. Awful one. Late period goal. And I just hate it.
I got last quick two things.
I got one last quick thing. You have Tavares?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
It's amazing. They still real fans. Real fans.
I respect it, but I also will say that I know Tavares is having an awesome season with the amulet because this is the first time they've ever done it where I was like, shut up.
I just think, listen, they don't got a lot here.
Yeah.
Their team sucks.
Yeah.
They got they got
about every once in a while, bossy stats and yo, that's crazy.
They're running their team into the ground. They suck. They got no, they're all old. They just no speed, no,
they
they got nothing.
The Leafs. They're kind of designed.
Yeah, they always have. They always have on the Leafs. I think they're, since Tavares went there, former producer of the show, Josiah Bosch, texted me today. I think they're 7-6-3 against the Isles since that started. And I was like, that's five more wins than I thought they had in this season series since Tavares went. They just really feel like they always own them. But I would like to know what they are in UBS Arena or on the Long Island, because it just feels like they lose this game every time. And early on, it was brutal. It was they went there and laid eggs against that team. I remember being really upset when they first started going there.
Do these guys care about Tavares?
Yes.
That way.
Because they were so bad there. But he had the moment, I think it was two. Was it last year they got his 1,000th where he kicked it up? Or was that two years ago?
No.
Anyways.
All year. The seasons. That's true.
They all seem the same. But you're right. It was last year. So I respect it. Real fans, but God, they just got nothing. So it's a big night for them. They usually have the sleepy, boring nights where they lose 7-1 to the Buffalo Sabres with Borny's entire family in the building. They usually have those kind of nights. But then the Leafs come to town. It's something to live for.
Yeah,
and they get the boo Tavares. So let them have it. Good for them.
Oh, buddy, you know my stance on
good fans. They care.
Be a fan. Be a fan however you want to.
When they stop booing it, we literally retired Vince Carter's jersey in Toronto. Yeah. So we don't really have a leg to stand on here. We're not real fans. They're real fans.
So I don't mind. I don't mind them booing, but I think if you're a Leaf fan, you can be annoyed by it too. That's part of the deal.
Say, buddy, two things can be true. You like to say that, and that's the truth. Two things can be true here.
But I will admit that I wanted Tavares to get one so bad. He had a good opportunity tonight. And
down the slot where it was a great drop pass from Marner. And I thought he was going to go bar down. He just missed. Looked off an Easton Cowan-esque look off of Max Pacioretty for a tap in backdoor. But I'm let him have it. Let him ring one off the post and in here and make him eat it. But good for Johnny.
I'm such an immature guy. Easton Cowan has one look off and I'm just immediately texting people. what do you think the least could get for Cowan?
I've been talking about this since last deadline.
That's a multiple real hockey people.
Oops, I had Books on Kimberly Moore today. He was hammering us. He's like, I've had to deal with these two idiots texting me the entire game. I hope I get to watch the game.
I didn't text Books at all tonight. I left it alone. I'm leaving that. I said that to other people. I was like I said, this is I'm kind of embarrassed by it. But anyways, what's your last thing? Domi.
Yes. Love the Domi. Hey, you got the good and bad of Domi tonight. Awesome reverse check where that George kid that had his great moment in Toronto where he scores his first career goal in his hometown gets absolutely belted by Domi and it ends up going back to the net. Good pass by Robertson to find McMahon.
Yeah.
But I didn't think this, like, at first I texted you that it was a greasy elbow, but on further review,
I thought the same thing. The first angle of it, it looks like vicious and it's like the kid gets hurt. So you assume,
but
like,
I think it's more on where the contact is and that there's arm extension, but I don't think like it's a, I think he caught him. Let's see here. That angle's not good. The angle we just showed on YouTube, Sportsnet Plus, is not the one for Domi innocence. Because
Domi sizes him up and he's got hate in his heart.
Oh, he's looking to hurt. He's looking to hurt.
That's looking to hurt. That's looking to hurt.
Yeah. So I thought it was a good play by Domi. I like when he's engaged like this. He hits him and then later he does a Dumbo. This one is the one where you're, you know, that one's all right. That's a good angle.
He just hits him in the chest first. Like, this is like, that looks like head.
Yeah. Listen. It's not the best play I've ever seen. If someone else did it to Lisa, I'd probably be crying that it was an elbow to the mouth. But
well, it got me thinking about the OEL one where he got he got the punishment for it.
Oh yeah, similar.
So I was like, if OEL got dinged 5K for that, then I think Domi might get a little, you know, note in his locker.
Note in his locker.
He might. Like, hey, here's what I'll say. I'm torn on this one because you're right. If this happened to, say, Austin Matthews when he comes back from injury,
he'd be out for two seasons if this happened to him.
Well, and I would be asking for jail for whoever did this to him. I'd be like, let's get prison for life here. I don't think that this is the worst hit. Like, it doesn't look great from a couple of the angles. No. I don't think it's that bad. I think it's kind of like actually just like a reverse hit. It's a little bit like gets him a bit high, maybe. The elbow extends a little bit, maybe. I just have a tough time complaining too much about when the Leafs do like gritty things like this that they've been missing for so many years. Mm. And like the game is losing this element more and more and more. So like, if I'm just being truthful about how I feel, you can say that I'm just being a homer. That's fine. Like, I would accept that, but I'll just say that. But in general, Sammy, you know me, we text through all this stuff. Like, when am I ever like a shrinking violet when it comes to plays like this, even when they're against the Leafs?
Yeah, none. You don't do that.
Like, I just think like hockey's a physical game. It's meant to be a mean game. And sometimes mean things happen to professional athletes making millions of dollars. So yeah, Ashley Fernandez. Good
nailed
take.
It.
30, it's a little clean. Yeah, that's all.
Perfect take, Ashley. End of Leafs talk.
It's a little dirty. It's a little clean.
Perfect.
Yeah, Ashley Fernandez, great texter on the show. Great, great person in the chat. All right, let's wrap this up. This has been long.
Yeah.
And I want to go be mad.
Yeah, I'm going to go pet my dog.
So I'm going to go write up my show for tomorrow and I showed you my notes app.
You're going to be cooking tomorrow.
I showed you my notes
app. JD Bunkus is off the top tomorrow because he opened up his phone and it was his notes app. And there's a lot of big words. A lot of,
That was before the USA game.
Yeah. Okay.
So think about what I've added in the two games since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just reading a Dave Cameron quote here. Do you want me to read it to you?
Honestly, I don't know if I have the heart. Like, he's going to be like, we win this 9 times out of 10 quote again?
I think this tournament was exactly what I knew it was going to be coming in.
Cool.
It was going to be 3 to 4 teams that could win it. There was going to be it was not going to be easy to win games. You've got to win those sudden death games. It just verified that's exactly what it is.
What a hockey mind.
Wow.
You got when you get an opportunity to have a big brain genius like that, like, has anyone gotten away with people thinking he's smart from having glasses more than Dave Cameron? Like, even when
even us,
dude, he has no charisma whatsoever. When he called the refs over the bench, like, when he was just like, come over here, want to talk to them? I was like, I've never seen any officials like look off a coach more, being like,
there's got to be some young coach of one of the best junior teams in Canada that can do like listen, I'm old hockey guy all the time for an NHL team, but there's got to be somebody to connect to these kids better than Davey Cameron. Like, anyways, we're doing too much. Like, we're just too mad. We're going in mad circles here. I should have wrote the Dave Cameron quote, but God. Anyways, that's Leafs talk.
I never feared Dave Cameron when he was with the Sens. Like, I always wondered about how he ended up playing. What?
The onside attack. He coached the St. Michael's Majors, or I guess they were the Mississauga Majors at the time, previous St. Mike Majors, and onside attacks OHL championship. They were heavily favored going into it, and we beat them in seven games, and he was crying the entire time. I just, you know, we beat him in the game seven overtime, and he was just so sour.
This is one of those sports things that, like, I will never forgive. Like, I will just never forgive this. I will take this to my deathbed. Like, that's what Dave Cameron will be to me. I don't care what he's accomplished in his life. I don't care what he's done in his career. This is just all I will ever know him as, is the most biggest loser coach in Team Canada history. And, like, I'll hate his guts till the day I die. Okay. I will carry this till the day I die.
And on that note,
yeah,
Leafs talk. Hey, Saturday night, when two locked in boys with the Bruins game on Saturday night. So get ready.
Yeah, we'll actually watch that game. I definitely won't be watching football at all. I'll be totally watching.
Oh, just football on Saturday. Crap.
No, it's not football yet. It's like the wild card weekend Saturday is going to be the one where it's like, that's the real. The football on this Saturday is like 20-point faves. I won't watch a lick of that. There's only one football game, and of course it is across from the Leafs, and it's the Vikings and the Lions. Anyway, all right, let's get out of here. Thanks for watching. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkers, at Sammy McKee. Reach out anytime. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment. Leave a thumbs up. We'll see you on Saturday. I will take this to my deathbed. That's what Dave Cameron will be to me. I don't care what he's accomplished in his life. I don't care what he's done in his career. Okay. I will carry this till the day I die.
And on that note,
yeah,
Leafs talk.